Hello, and welcome to the Game Site Podcast, episode 49. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we're here again to discuss video games, anime, other geeky things that we enjoy.
We're all back in one room again.
Yeah, we've been kind of busy the last couple weeks. Well, I've been busy the last couple weeks.
I found time to do recordings. Nice, short, 10-minute recordings. Anywho. So, it is Halloween, so happy Halloween to everybody that's going to be listening to this on the next day, so it's kind of a moot point.
Hopefully everybody's in costumes. I'm still working on my costumes. Oh, well, kind of working on costumes. It's a costume at this point. But I need to do an alteration, because one thing ended up being slightly too small. Darn.
I'm sure it'll work out for you.
Yeah, it's just going to take a little bit of time. Because I have to undo a couple of things and redo stuff and align it all properly and yay. But I will be an awesome pirate. Proteus's costume's already done. He's already an awesome pirate. I just got finished his sash. Sash is easy. In comparison to everything else, it is super easy.
Well, compared with, I guess, what, gathering? Are you tired of gathering?
I hate gathering. And I'm also tired of slip stitching. Slip stitching is a hand stitch. I had hand stitch a lot on my corset bodice top. A lot. Like 3 feet.
At least after you're all said and done, you'll also have great costumes for the Ren Faire.
Yes. Except Proteus needs better boots.
Yeah.
I got pilgrim shoes that have buckles on them. They're perfect.
I'm sure people will give you a pass if you're in everything else and you just have standard boots on afterwards. Except for the real geeks. They'll call you out with a nice nasally voice, too.
I don't believe that those are period.
I don't think most things at Renaissance festivals are period.
All right, moving on. We have a few things for you guys today. First off, Fable 3 came out last week. And so I've been kind of playing that. But when I got Fable 3, I realized that I hadn't quite beat Fable 2 yet. So I first went through and beat Fable 2 and then straight into Fable 3. And there are actually quite a few differences between the two. I mean, your basic combat, one button for sword, one button for gun, one button for spells is still there. But some of the menu structure is differently. For example, when you're not in an actual mission or something, or you're not waiting for a cinema to pass, there's no actual pause button. You hit start, and it takes you to your sanctum, where you just kind of stand and your butler's there, and that's where you would take care of stuff like changing outfits, or what kind of tattoos or hairstyles you have, looking at your trophies and everything, going through your gifts and such. So it's kind of odd that that's all done in live instead of through a kind of a menu structure like we're used to. That's also switch out weapons, open gifts. You can rename your dog there, and that's where the fast travel is. You walk up to this big map, and you use this hourglass to focus the map on where you want to go. And then it teleports you there. Yeah, the only thing that's kind of irritating me is, I know I have potions and stuff in my inventory, but I can only use them when the D-pad pops up with that potion showing.
So you can't, actually equip something?
You don't equip potions manually or something. You just
I guess you can't just top off your health if you're a little low or something.
Well, fortunately, that's something they did change, which is good. You have heroic healing, as they call it. So you actually automatically regain health over time, like every other game that's come out in the past century. Instead of just staying at your low health levels until you, eat food, sleep, drink a potion,
or hit bushes to find hearts.
And I haven't gotten far enough yet to find out whether or not you get fat because I haven't eaten that much food yet. I'm pretty sure you do get fat, but I don't know if you lose the weight over time or if you're just stuck being fat. Like in Fable 2, without DLC, the only way to lose weight was to eat celery.
Well, technically that would work because celery's caloric, distribution is less than what it takes to actually eat it.
Yeah.
You burn more calories eating, you get negative effect because you're not even actually gaining any nutrients.
That's only if you don't, smother it in peanut butter or cheese, though.
Nope, this is just plain celery.
Rabbits.
But everything else, every other type of food except for tofu made you fat. Tofu had a zero balance. It didn't make you skinny, it didn't make you fat, it was just tofu. But you made you good by eating it. It added to your angel levels. Or your good levels, or whatever
you want to say. Good score.
Yeah, that works.
So carrots did make you fat?
No, carrots were good. Yeah, carrots would make you fat.
I think their system's a little bit off.
I think that Peter Molyneux doesn't understand how food works.
You got chunky from eating food. So, you know, it's the cheapest thing to buy to get health back, but if you want a thin character, you're, you need to just spend the extra money on potions. Now, in the expansions, they actually came out with a thinning potion that you could buy to make yourself skinny.
Gotta work for me, magic.
I'm just imagining, like, in the magic world, that, you know, health potions are kind of like the equivalent of, like, a diet shake or something, you know? Or a protein shake. And so, you know, it seems like chugging those wouldn't exactly keep you thin either.
That's why there's only adventures. They work off all those extra calories.
But yeah, so hopefully I'll soon find out whether or not I stay skinny as my guy currently is or if I become a chunky dude. And then you still have a dog in Fable 3, which is a pain in the ass in my household because my dog loves to bark at dogs on TV. I have to send him out of the living room when I play the game if I want to play it in peace. Yeah, he's a spaz. What else about that game? You start it with... Well, you don't get the weapons immediately. You get them after... you walk to the town of Springvale, I think it was. Or Springwood. Or it's Spring something. It's one generic spring town here.
Enter town name here.
Your butler tells you that, you know, he's found some weapons for you in the area. And they're weapons that were given to you by your hero. Which the hero that they keep referencing in the game, in Fable 3, is your parent, because you're the child of the hero from the previous game. So they left you a hammer, a sword, which those change as you use them throughout the game, and then a rifle and pistols. And so those specific weapons change as you use them. They modify themselves based on what you do with them. And then other weapons that you buy or pick up can become unique based on achieving certain abilities. For example, I have one that I'm not using because I'm playing a good character that involves killing 8 people that adore you.
This game is bizarre. The Fable games are bizarre sometimes.
But it's a fun game. I'm enjoying the combat. Spells, unlike in Fable 2, you had a number of different things you knew, and then you placed them at certain levels. And as you held down the spell button, it would charge up, and based on what level you released it at the charge, depended on what spell you released. For example, you could have a level 3... I usually have, like, a level 1 time stop, level 2, like, sword attack, level 3 time stop maybe, you know, give myself a little more time on the second one, then 4 and 5 were, like, lightning and fireballs. In this one, you have a spell gauntlet, which grants you your spells, and you change out spell gauntlets depending on what you want to cast. For instance, currently I have a fire spell gauntlet and a lightning spell gauntlet. So far it's a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm, several hours in, I couldn't really tell you how much I've played because you lose track of time when you're playing video games.
Yeah, it's easy to do that.
And it does have the same thing Fable 2 did, where you can go into other players' games.
Maybe you should play more Fable 2.
Maybe. If anyone was paying attention to, you know, the webpage and my Twitter feed on there, I reinstalled Freelancer. And I've been playing that. Because I never finished it. Because I kept having, you know... I was using a bit of a Frankenstein computer, and,
Was this the one that you had to leave the side off, otherwise it overheated?
Yes.
And put the fan directly on it, yes.
Possibly.
No, I'm probably having to do that.
I'm trying to remember if this was that computer, if this was the computer after that.
I thought it was that one, because that was the one you started playing the WoW beta on, and you were like, look how pretty this game was. So I was like, boy, this game's ugly. That's why I installed the beta on mine, and my computer was, you know, top of the line at the time. I was like... Oh, it actually is good looking. I know you had to turn the graphics way down, but
As I was saying, it would my save file would end up corrupted or something would happen, just like forget mess up the game.
Finally, just said forget it, I'm done.
Yeah, but I've gotten quite past the parts where it kept like freaking out before, so I think I'm in the good. It runs on Windows 7 fine, which really surprised me considering it's an XP game.
Well, this stuff actually does run pretty well on Windows 7.
Adobe was difficult. I had to like caress it to get a CS2 to run on 7.
I gotta have to play Plants vs. Zombies in a little tiny screen because it doesn't like working with higher levels of DirectX.
Okay, well that I can't help you with.
Yeah. But we've also been playing some Rock Band 3.
Yeah.
Irish Pride, my bro, decided that it was his purchase for the week was Rock Band 3 with the keyboard. I haven't actually seen the keyboard in action yet, but he was playing just it, and it was like, I like the fact that the avatars look a lot better and more customizable, and there's also the fact that you don't have to travel around between
venues
and play, you know, the sets of songs, especially those really long sets. My bro's trying to convince our dad to play with him through the Endless Play set, which is like 60 songs in a row, which is like 4 hours worth of playing.
No.
You get an achievement, apparently, if you play through it all.
So is there a, are you able to jump in and out in songs at will, like in Guitar Hero?
You, like adding extra people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That makes it much better for a party game.
Yeah, because Irish Pride was playing, and then Proteus joined them, but I hadn't quite joined it yet. I think they did maybe a song by themselves, and then I started playing. So then I just jumped in after, you know, at the beginning of the next song. Then I accidentally unplugged the controller in between songs. But yeah, what's really crazy, though, is we got to see how it works hooking up as many instruments as you possibly can to it. Well, it's going to be weird having all the instruments added in because you have to have the little adapter thing, which my bro has somewhere. He doesn't remember where, but, you know, there's the drums and the guitar and then the bass and then the keyboard now. And then you can have at least 2 to 3 vocals.
Wow.
Because there's duets on some of these songs now, too. So it's like...
So you got 4 instruments and 3 vocals possible?
Yeah.
Damn. You're even a band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can also enable to use the... like pro versions of the instruments. So like the, you know, drum set that has things actually look like cymbals and such.
Yeah, and you can also upload all the previous songs for Rock Band 2 and Rock Band and all your previously downloadable content into Rock Band 3. So you don't have to switch games all the time, like in the old Guitar Heroes way back in the day if you wanted to play certain play sets. Everything's available. Everything. Yeah.
Sweet. So it definitely made it more accessible for the newcomer.
Yes. And just like and if you've played it before, you just know what to do. And if you haven't played before, it's, I don't know, there's not much to, you know, grasp for Rock Band. It's crazy playing Rock Band more than it is Guitar Hero. But who would have ever thought that they would, you know, they'd be having so many things?
Seriously. Who would have thought that, you know, hitting keys at random on a plastic guitar would have become such a popular medium?
Supposedly, too, you can buy guitars that have been designed to actually... They are actual guitars that you can plug into the game.
I've seen those. They're like $300 or something like that.
Might as well buy a real guitar. Go get some lessons.
Moving on. Just because I think it's time to move on. Sony, while not wanting to actually admit it, is making the PlayStation phone. It looks like it's going to be running Android. And currently it's kind of codenamed the Z System. Honestly, there's not a whole lot known about that, about the system, except for the fact that it looks like it's going to be between Sony Ericsson and Sony. So most likely, unfortunately, it's going to be on AT&T. I think that's where most Sony Ericsson stuff goes.
I think you're right, yeah.
So... that's my guess, is we're going to be seeing it on AT&T. I would love it if it came to Verizon within the next 2 months.
It might not be on AT&T in the next 2 months.
So, well, that's when my contract's up. 2 months is when I'm due for a new phone.
I'm like, I don't know if I care.
Well, I don't.
I'm weird about my phone. I just make calls and texts.
Well, it's not like, you know, I've never bought a PSP. I'd be due for a new phone. It'd be kind of nice to, you know...
combine them into one?
Exactly.
But that was being a multitasker, and sometimes multitaskers don't work as well.
Well, it's basically going to be a game console with a phone functionality.
I would remind everyone when Nokia dabbled in this. It was called the N-Gage.
Yes, but it was trying to start its own console instead of an existing one.
That's true.
So, and it looked like a taco! You talk to it, but basically holding it like a taco to your head. And in order to change the games, this was the stupidest thing about it. To change the games, you had to remove the batteries from the phone in order to get to the where the game cartridges sat in the first.
I did not realize how much bad design those things suffered from. I thought they were just a bad idea.
No, it was horrible overall.
Hooray! I don't think I ever really paid that much attention. I forgot, like, oh yeah, there was Engage.
That was also done before it became popular to have, like, the iPhone that has all those games on it in the first place. So it could have been, like, the Dreamcast. Decent idea, wrong timing.
Yeah. Well, but it doesn't help with your design philosophy is, too. You have to remove the guts of your phone to insert a new game. That is poor design right there.
Seriously.
That's worse than the original NES. You know, it's cooling design.
You mean open up the lid and your game will, and you have a less chance of the console overheating. Yeah, did you ever see the redesigned NES?
Yeah, you stick them in like a Super NES.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it... Okay, I never realized that they had overheating problems. I never had any problems.
That was a portion of the problem. Then there was the, you know, the spring in the, you know, in the cartridge area kind of breaking thing. And
our problem was that the cable in out adapter thing that you put on the antenna slot in the back of the television, it basically unraveled on us. So there's actually a video in and video out actually on the side of the NES for as old as it is. You can just put cables into it.
Why was I always using the coax then?
I never knew it existed until somebody's like, oh yeah, you can just go buy these cables and you will be able to play still. Especially with newer televisions that don't have the little antenna thing, I think, anymore.
I think it's because in that day and age, nobody really cared about RCA jacks. It was easy. You just had the RCA jack and then you had, you know, the billion things chained together.
I always hated when we had to move the entertainment system with all our games attached to it. It was very annoying.
It's really a pain in the butt to disconnect those coax cables.
Mm-hmm. I like stuff, though. You just push it in and you're done. No. Screw, 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 screw. Okay, fingers hurt now.
Well, sometimes you get like a one that was not quite right, and so you have to kind of like screw it in just the right amount so that it's seated, but like if you screwed it too much, it would like pinch on the wires or something weird, and I had a bad cable at some point.
I never had one of those.
You had to like connect it just enough.
Ah, we're reminiscing.
Yeah.
Anywho, so back on the blasted phone, looks like it's going the rumored specs are going to be that it's going to about have 512 gigabytes of RAM,
a gig of ROM,
a 1 gigahertz processor. And it's going to be, the screen size is going to be between 3.7 and 4.1 inches, and they're estimating it to be running Android Gingerbread 3.0.
Why are they calling it Gingerbread?
The Android code names have been Cupcake, Donut, Frozen Yogurt, Gingerbread. I think there was some before that, but they've all been named after pastries of some sort.
Desserts in general.
I think they're just making fun of Apple, and they're, you know... Was it Panther was the last OS X release? Or is it Jaguar? I can't remember.
I don't know. It's just odd.
Anyway.
And they actually put big mock-ups of these on their front lawn.
Oh, we can just share those as a link with everyone, I guess.
Yeah, I'll put them in the show notes sometime. Anywho,
moving on. What should we move on to next?
Let's see. Next up we have Cataclysm. We can't go a week without talking about World of Warcraft.
Well, considering it's coming out in this about what, 5
1 month, 1 week.
Yeah, I was gonna say give 5 weeks. Yeah, speaking of that too, Irish Pride is taking off 2 weeks after it gets released. He's taking his vacation at that time.
Impressive.
He's very happy because he gets almost all of December off because the library he works at too is closed a lot. There's an eclair.
Yes, version E was eclair.
I'm sorry, that's just weird. Like, it's not even like a cool weird. It's just odd.
Google likes to have fun with their stuff.
I know,
so but it's... Cupcake, donut, eclair, frozen yogurt, gingerbread. So it's a giant gingerbread man. They caught him.
F should have been fritters or something like that.
They decided to go for frozen yogurt. They just called it Froyo. Anywho, so one of the things about Cataclysm,
it is going to be available digital download from Blizzard's site on the night of release.
Actually, you can get the download will be happen before.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You will be able to play the night of release if you buy download.
You will be able to sit at a logon screen for 3 hours on the night of release.
Entering server full. Entering queue number 300.
300's not bad.
I was going to say 300. I'm thinking more like 4,000.
I don't think I've ever gone that high in the queues.
Try playing right after an expansion.
I played right at launch.
Yes, it wasn't as popular at launch.
I guess that's true. Yeah. It's only gotten more people. But they had more server problems at launch.
They have 12 million people playing the game, which how many of those do you think are going to have Cataclysm at launch? Let's say not everybody gets it.
At least half.
Let's go just half. So we're going to have 6 million people logging onto these servers. And let's say about half of those, 3 million, buy it online. So you're going to have those 3 million people calling in from work for the next day and logging in on that night. The good news is us slackers that are buying the CD version, they're going to pick it up the store and then install it when we get home. Hopefully won't have to deal with that like we've had previous years.
Ours is getting shipped to us.
Mine's from the GameStop on the way home from work. I'm just dropping by and grabbing a drink.
We were told when we ordered it from GameStop that at least online, you could not pick up the collector's edition.
I ordered mine before they started that.
Okay.
I basically, the collector's edition announced, walked into GameStop, pre-ordered it.
I'm guessing that each store is only getting so many, and so once they sold out of the pre-orders per stores in your area, they stopped letting you do it.
They probably had a certain cutoff period. For example, one of my coworkers has a GameStop where everybody who pre-orders Cataclysm before the thing is announced, they automatically flip all of those to collector's editions. Therefore, their expected sales on those are higher, so they get more copies. That's why they do pre-orders, people, so they know how to do their inventory and are able to offer better stuff. It's not because, it's because they are money-grubbing, but there's another reason behind that.
But the problem is then they don't order any extra copies for the person who's like, oh, I forgot to pre-order, or they're not, or they're just like...
That's why you go to Best Buy.
Speaking of Best Buy, their anime section is, like, really piddly anymore.
It's sad.
It's one shelf width. That's it.
The one down south off of 25 over by 25 in County Line, it still has an okay selection, but generally, you gotta go online now.
Yeah.
And one of those shelves, like, it was, you know, one section of shelves, like, six or something maybe, right?
It was, like, seven.
And most of it's Naruto and
Dragon
Ball.
Yeah, I say six or
no,
seven.
No. Most of it was Dragon Ball. There's like a full shelf of Dragon Ball. And there's like one season of Bleach. Like one set. You know, one copy of a season of Bleach.
But there was season 4, 5, and 7 of Bleach.
Oh, was there? There's more?
Yes.
Okay.
They're just really skinny. I'm so not used to seeing everything be so skinny. I saw Trigun. You know, it's been released. I looked at it.
It's now 4 discs.
It's 4 discs. It's 40 half an bucks. Inch thick. It's a half an inch thick. And I look at home, I have the original set when it first came out.
It's like six inches.
It's wide. And it's massive in comparison. I'm just like, man, it makes me sad. I'm like, I spent $100 on that when it came out. It's like Slayers. All three seasons. $50. I spent $100 on each season, and it's gigantic. Each set is like... Or at least they actually cram more episodes on Slayers.
But look on the bright side. You have that nice, fancy artwork boxes that they don't get.
I don't know. The Trigun box isn't anything to write home about, I don't think.
Anywho, moving on. Speaking of going online to get stuff, GameStop is starting to actually sell some of its stuff online for people. How trade-ins are going to work is currently unknown. It looks like they have three categories. Full games, such as Castle Crashers. Add-ons, which is basically you can buy DLC packs from them. And then there's free trials, which, if I have to tell you what a free trial is, walk away from your computer right now.
Okay, so...
Do I have to pay for the trial?
There will be somebody that will ask that.
There will be.
Or there'll be people like, why do I have to give my credit card info to do the free trial?
So, looks like they're trying to come up to the 21st century and start offering stuff online for people. And so, yeah. So soon we'll be out of our brick and mortar stores permanently, probably.
I don't know. Some people, they're still, you know, having debates about that. It's like the reason why, you know, nothing is switched over to pure, like, digital, like, for money. There's something nice about having cold, hard cash in your pocket.
I like being able to go to the store and have my disc. I like knowing that I have the disc.
You have a physical copy.
Well, as long as they made you, as long as they allowed you, like, maybe, like, write, you know, a disc with a copy of the image or something for your own, you know, keep it in case your computer explodes kind of thing.
Well, you know, systems like Steam is not too bad because you go to a computer, you sign in, you can just download everything anyways. The only thing you have to worry about is if something ever happens to the Steam servers. Heaven forbid.
That will be the geekpocalypse.
That is wow.
Steam's exploded!
And last on our docket that we have, Kinect. The next thing in motion gaming comes out Thursday.
Thursday?
None of us are buying it right now.
That was Tuesday.
Thursday.
It's an odd release, because most of the time things come out on Tuesday.
It is kind of odd, but technically it's not a game, it's a system, so maybe they're trying to move things up a bit, change it a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
And so people everywhere will be petting peggers.
And dancing!
There's some, it's also sort of like fitness thing.
There's a lot of fitness things. The majority of games are fitness and sports.
Yeah, it could be like my Bob's Work, who, for their prevention thing for health, their health insurance is giving away a free Wii drawing with Wii Fit.
So, I'm torn on Kinect, because, like one of my coworkers says, I play video games to relax. Not to have to jump around and move around and a bunch of stuff.
I don't know, I feel pretty active when I'm playing Rock Band, but I'm doing drums. And I get kind of into it.
Rock Band's different, though. But say if you're playing a first-person shooter, I want to know how this is going to work on a first-person shooter. I think we've gone over this before.
It's like playing rail shooters on the Wii. You gotta buy the thing. It worked better.
I was gonna say it's gonna be like, you know, what was that? Okay, game Time Crisis. Except instead of just like hitting a pedal to duck, you actually duck.
Or House of the Dead. How do you make the gun? Do you just make the gun like this? Do you just make your hand like in the shape of a gun?
How does it know you're shooting? Pew, pew. So this is all the stuff I'm kind of wondering. Or is it just we're gonna have a bunch of games that use a controller that are integrated into Kinect that have specific Kinect options?
It's currently unknown.
It's going to be an interesting world we're going to see here.
What we know right now is that we have, you know, things where you just kind of do, like, limb. Instead of, you know, having little stick wagglings, you have limb wagglings.
It's true. We were watching it. It's like, would you like to confirm? And you move your hand to the go, and you hold it on the go. So it's just like, instead of pointing with the thing, I use my hand to point on something. No. I wait for my holodeck still, so.
The most advantage thing I can see about this, if it works the way it's supposed to, is the voice activation and being able to navigate the menus without the controller. That'll be nice for, you know, Netflix and such. Start Netflix, play.
USB, please state a command.
Yeah, I mean,
Yoshiba battles the pink robots.
I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before. I have a car with voice activated.
Sync.
It has the Ford Sync system in it. But it sometimes mispronounces things, such as robots.
Robots.
Or Scott Pilgrim versus A World.
Have we come across any other weird ones? Those are the weirdest, especially when it said robots. Because it's this female mechanical voice trying to say it. It struggles, because it's a long title.
Well, it's really fun doing the Modest Mouse album titles, because they're enormously long.
I'm surprised.
Good news for people who love bad news.
Or transatlantic.
We were dead before the ship even sank.
What about transatlanticism? I'm surprised it recognizes that title when you tell it, play album transatlanticism, and it knows it.
It is reasonably smart, but then sometimes but the problem is that you always have to at least start with the first word in a title. Like, you can't say just, like, the middle part of a title on something. It can't figure that out. Which annoys me. I wish it could have that, you know, sort of additional level of intelligence.
Maybe there'll be a patch.
So what I'm hearing is, hey, I have a car that I can voice tell it to start playing a song, but I'm not happy because it won't take the middle of the song as well.
Well, I'll tell you why this is a problem, is because when I'm trying to listen to podcasts, sometimes the title that I think of and remember is different than what the title is literally in the computer. For example, I get a lot of ones from NPR, and I have to remember to actually preface the title of the podcast, such as Science Friday, with NPR.
So NPR, Science Friday.
Yes.
You're still complaining. About high-end technology. That technology is still relatively high-end.
Yeah.
Anywho. Well, with that, I'm out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be jumping back on the bandwagon. Or I fell off the wagon. I don't know which. If I haven't played for 2 years, is it really falling off the wagon? For WoW.
I still say it's not falling off. You're jumping back on. You're joining the 2 million, the 12 million strong bus. That is one hell of a long bus. Or it's really wide or really tall. Let's choose your poison. You have a really long bus, a really wide bus, or a really tall bus, or all three. Maybe we have a perfectly square bus that holds 12 million people. It's a giant cube.
Oh no, we're the Borg now.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, resistance is futile.
Well, let's see.
Your uniqueness will be added to our collective.
You can find anybody through your Facebook page, anybody in WoW through Facebook now.
That's scary. That's the thing that scares me, is that people are going to know. It's like, they're going to be like, oh, Jim's playing WoW again. Loser.
Yes, but even for them to see that they're playing WoW too. Or StarCraft.
Well, not necessarily. Won't it? Well, I guess I would have to, like, probably enable
You have to enable the Facebook.
Yeah, enable the real ID, which I have. Of mine.
But I mean, well, it won't automatically, like, you'd have to, like, enable it to post, like, you know, Jim just gained a level.
Yes, you would have to enable it to automatically do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it does that? I don't want to do
you
that.
Can. I think it's an option or it's an add-on that you can download. Yeah. I know if on the WoW thing for the iPhone, which last time I tried it was currently broken, you can actually look at your record and see how many kills you have of who. It's like, I've only killed him 12 times. I could have sworn I'd been through this instance more than that.
Oh, I thought you were meaning PvP.
No, like, you can tell how many, like, which bosses you killed how many times, or when you got what achievement. Or, like,
The thing is, I never griefed people, so, you know, there'd be, like, the most I probably have of, you know, kills of players would be, like, 5 or something from a battleground.
Like, I killed the Headless Horseman 14 times this week. Got 6 brooms. Never got the damned horse.
You got a broom, though!
Yeah, the brooms expire after 14 days.
My brother hasn't gotten anything. He's at the point where he can't roll on any of the loot because he's already has all the rings and the helmet and the pet and everything else. He's been trying to get the mount, so he's been running it, like, constantly. He gets into queue.
You can only run it once a day and get the mount.
Only once a day to get the mount?
Yeah.
You can't just continually run?
Nope. Only do it once a day. It's based off of basically a special drop that you get when you run it once a day, kind of like
that pumpkin thing.
Yeah, it's in that pumpkin thing if you get it.
Oh, he didn't know that. Oh, he's gonna be sad.
He's been running it repeatedly trying to get that. Yeah, it doesn't drop like that anymore.
Because I guess then everybody would be going around with Headless Horseman mounts otherwise. But I just thought it was a really low drop rate.
We'll just get ourselves to 85 and do Baron runs.
Yeah, this is how it worked last year.
I'm thinking that at 85, I wouldn't be able to do a Baron. Well, I'm trying to remember, at 70, probably one could have done a Baron run by themselves, couldn't they?
We could duo a Baron run.
At 70. Really easy.
Anywho.
Yeah. Okay. Goodbye, everybody. We're done now. That's it. It's over.
Go ahead and visit www.thegameslave.com. There are some fabulous t-shirts with Zelda Quinn's designs at Spreadshirt, or sorry, at thegameslave.spreadshirt.com, which you can also find a link to from the main site. Go ahead and join our forums at forum.thegameslave.com and send us any emails, questions, comments, anything that you want to send us that's not spam related to mail@thegameslave.com. Thank you, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!